time to feel the rush of the round table live on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
It's Ryan Doyle and Tamara Cherry with you here on The Rush this afternoon. Great roundtable as always. John Torrey Jr. is with us. Nice to have you, sir.
Afternoon. Good to be here.
Carmen Wong, former journalist, communications advisor to the Premier, founder of KPW Communications. Nice to have you.
Good to be here.
Let's start off with something I didn't think I was going to be saying today. Bill Cosby is a free man. Pennsylvania's highest court threw up Bill Cosby's sexual assault conviction, released him from prison this afternoon. Most of this hangs on technicalities. Some of it comes from an old civil case where there was an agreement that was reached. Some of the background of it also deals with them not being too pleased that the women that were brought in to testify against Mr. Cosby also got towards the level of character assassination the court should have been uncomfortable with. All that to say, Carmen, Bill Cosby is free, and it disgusts me that he is.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I read what the prosecutor had to say. The prosecutor said it was a procedural issue. She said it was irrelevant to the facts of the case, to the crime, meaning that this doesn't vindicate Cosby's conduct. And it also shouldn't be taken as a finding that he didn't engage in the acts for which he was accused. But I kind of find that that rings a bit empty, especially for the people who accused him. I mean, I hope it doesn't. But I think this is, you know, the very reason why some people are discouraged from coming forward, and especially coming forward against a powerful person, a very rich person with the means to fight all this and to come up with this judgment and this technicality for which he was released. So I think it's a bad day. I know there are a lot of checks and balances in the court system. And I mean, I've got to believe that the justice system has a reason for doing this, but it's hard to find justification for this.
Yeah. Carmen, I think you're so bang on there. I think that this is such an injustice for all the women that came forward and who had to hit the box and testify and relive their trauma over and over again. It almost makes me think, John, that there should be some sort of accountability for it seems to be the prosecutors who really screwed up on this one before the trial even started.
I'll echo what you guys said about this is a terrible slap in the face to dozens of women victims who had the courage to, you know, come forward and identify themselves, at least to the law enforcement and publicly in some cases. And they even had to settle for the fact that only the crime against Andrea Constant was legally able to be prosecuted. But that having been said, the error is not on the part of the prosecutor. The prosecutor is welcome to ask to have any evidence they want admitted into the trial. The error is on the part of the judge for allowing it. And this is why the prosecutors have to be so, and the judges have to be so careful about this stuff, because of course now Bill Cosby has double jeopardy protection, so he cannot be tried again for that crime, and the time has run out on all the others, and so justice has been denied to so many people. It is disgusting, but these rights exist to protect the integrity of the system as the whole, and the system believes it's better to have a guilty person go free than to have an innocent person sit in jail. And today that technicality, that procedural thing, which does not speak at all to Cosby's conduct, allowed him to walk out of jail having served 3 years. So for all his crimes, he paid 3 years, knowing the whole time that this appeal was coming and that this was likely going to be the outcome. It's disgusting. It's a travesty. It's a shame that they couldn't build their case without his testimony, because it was clear in that sealed testimony he had admitted to this stuff. We dealt with a lot of this around Homolka too, if you remember, when the deal was made before people knew things. And but this, again, this is why they just have to be so careful at the prosecutorial level.
So then you raise a good point though about the accountability on the judge. Should judges who make these sorts of mistakes be held accountable? Because there's a lot of, you know, mental health that is messed with as people go through this system. It's not just a matter of, let's just put it through trial and we'll see what happens at the appeal stage if it gets to that. Like these are people's lives, and people are suffering today because of the decision that was announced today.
Yeah, I mean, in some places, judges are elected and they're held to account. Look, the system also recognizes that judges are also human beings and they're not perfect. And again, it's not meant to be a punitive system. It's meant to ensure the rights of the accused and the better interests of society are protected. So yeah, it will go against this judge's scorecard, like as it's sort of presumptively held in their record. This is a major screw up. It's one that, probably a lot of people did see coming. It was widely talked about at the time of his trial. So, you know, do you need a broader system? I don't know. I feel like you'd have reactionary politics triggering it all the time, and you'd be in an endless loop of judicial review.
Especially in the United States. where the judges
are. Anywhere. It would happen here, too. It would happen here with the Homolka. But so, yeah, you know, there are mechanisms, but we also have to recognize that people make mistakes. And, you know, in the end of the day, the system upheld the rights of the accused, which is disgusting in this case, but it's how the system is supposed to work.
Mm-hmm. Let's turn it to our country. Justin Trudeau today asking that the flag fly at half mast this Canada Day. A lot of talk about all Canadians doing this in a show of support. Of course, in the wake of finding even more graves today on Canada's west coast containing the child remains of residential school victims. Carmen, you know, the Prime Minister can do what he wants. Will you be doing something similar? And if you have a Canadian flag, lowering it to half mast?
Yeah, you know, Ryan, I think it would have been more impactful if the Prime Minister had said something like, you know, across all government institutions, we're going to be lowering our flags to half mast in recognition that this Canada Day is especially challenging for some Canadians and especially for Indigenous communities who are grieving all over again. But then to also go further and do something else to address some of the issues that so many people are talking about. So finding answers and bringing some accountability to these unmarked graves and returning some answers to the families who have lost people there, or, you know, clean drinking water. I just think that it could have gone a lot further than just saying lower your flag half mast.
Or all of those things. God forbid we do all of the things that are desperately needed.
Yeah, or John, you know, promise, you know, do some of the things you promised when you were running for this office to help Indigenous communities that still haven't been done yet.
Yeah, I mean, everything Carmen said and more. And, you know, I heard you talking about the two scientists before the break, the traffic. And, like, it just is amazing to me that PHAC, we were able to produce the head of PHAC in front of Parliament to answer questions, you know, weeks after this became public. And yet we still haven't had anyone with the power of government compelled to answer questions or ordered to divulge information. That's a step that can be taken, like, in a day, you know, and just to get some things going. But, yeah, get action going, get boots on the ground, get people going and continue the listening campaign. But I think it's an overall, it's a good gesture to have the flags at half mast, just in recognition of these terrible, terrible discoveries that are continuing every day, but that have also been known about for 100 plus years.
Real estate is a topic in Toronto that gets a lot of people talking and gets a lot of people worked up. Toronto Star had a story today saying that a survey shows that more than a third of baby boomers are thinking of buying a house in the next 5 years, and they're not looking to downsize. Carmen, are baby boomers hoarding real estate? Is that a fair assessment, or are we shifting the blame to the wrong people?
Maybe they are. I'm a big believer that, like, the market meets the demand. Like, I think that, like, for example, I think I've moved three times in the past 5 years, and yeah. I wanted to,
and with young kids too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's awful. But I wanted to take a look at investing in, maybe a cottage property in one of the popular, you know, cottage areas. And I'm trying to convince my family and friends that it's a good investment. And I happen, like, this is a disclaimer, no one take my advice and buy anything based on what I said. But, like, I just think, like, real estate is always a solid investment that normally, if you live in, like, the North America, the value of real estate goes up, and it's something that you can pass on a generation. So, I mean, I'd like to hoard real estate.
Yeah, I agree with you, Carmen, but our producer, Donnie, has very different views. He thinks that, you know, real estate should not be considered an investment, and that one family should be allowed to own one home, and that would help level the playing field for everyone else. What are your thoughts on that, John?
It would not level the playing field, because a lot of people who own multiple homes don't necessarily own homes 2, 3, and 4 where everybody else wants to live. And so, you know, the biggest problem that we have is that we've now created, Toronto is such a successful city, it has created a thing where people want to hang on to their homes because they've appreciated so much in value, and their sentimental attachment too, that it's worthwhile for them to hold on to. And so, are they hoarding real estate? The boomers? Probably. It's also easy to point to that group because of that they're a large glut of generational people, and there's more of them than there is anyone else. And so this is probably normal too, as you have other generations coming up who would like to access homes, and then boomers are living way longer than was ever lived before and are still owning their homes. So I think it's an intersection of factors, but we just don't have enough housing supply. And I think we're a little bit obsessed with this notion generally of owning homes. Unlike European countries, a lot of them, where there's just an acceptance that people are just happy to live in stable, comfortable, decent rental housing for their whole lives.
The real key is to buy Baltic and Mediterranean, and then buy four houses, and then put the hotel on. Anyway, the NFL.
It was Park Place Hotel all the way, and hope for the luxury tax too.
Oh, I know. You get the waterworks. Oh, it's great stuff. The NFL proudly declared itself today that football is gay. There was a player who came out last week. He's the first openly gay player to make it on a team. I should say there have been other players that have come out that haven't made the team just because of the athletic ability. They just didn't have what it took. Carmen, is this a positive action on behalf of the NFL, or are they trying to be, you know, a little market savvy and try to woo in some people and maybe even change the channel from some of the other issues they've had?
Maybe they are, but I like it. I watched the ad and I liked it. I thought it was good. I think back to what I can remember as the last time an NFL player came out, and it was during the 2014 draft with Michael Sam, and that was met so much differently than this time around with and I can't remember the player's name off the top of my head that recently came out from the NFL. So I think they've come a long way, the NFL. I think that their words have to match their deeds in terms of how they deal with other issues that are progressive as well. I think we shouldn't underestimate the impact of, you know, players coming out as gay or an organization that also stands behind more inclusive values.
Carl Nassib is the player's name, John. And, you know, I like the way he came out last week. I thought it was a pretty classy way to do it. Your thoughts on this in 30 seconds?
We'll echo exactly what Carmen said. Actions and words and organizations are all learning and growing. Good for them. Can't wait to see what happens next. Hope all the other leagues do it too.
Carmen Wong, John Torrey Jr., thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Have a fantastic evening and, of course, a nice day tomorrow.